And a very good morning to you. It's John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group back with you for another program of The Law and You this Tuesday morning. As always, your opportunity to get free legal advice. All we need you to do is get on that telephone, 55208888. That number again, 55208888. Don't forget 07 in front of the number if you're south of the Tweed River. And you can always use our email address, talkback@4crb.com. Well, we have a couple of callers online already, so we'll get underway with Barry, who's been waiting there very patiently this morning. Good morning, Barry. How are you today?
Very good. How are you?
Well, indeed. How can I help you today?
I'm helping a friend of mine. He's in his 90s. He's unable to hear very well, so he's asked me to help him to try to sell his car.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a yellow Jag. Mm-hmm. And the model number is XJ6.
Barry, just sorry to interrupt you, but I think you've rung the wrong program. Are you wanting to speak to the fellow who can give you the valuation on the cars?
Yes,
you're wanting the program that starts at 10 o'clock this morning. That's Adam Hall with What's Your Car Worth? You're actually speaking to The Law and You, so I can give you legal advice, but I can't give you any advice on the value of a motor vehicle. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, we got handed this number.
No, well, that's fine. You're just calling at the wrong time. So that program will go to air at 10 o'clock this morning, and I read on the board as I walked into the studio that it is confirmed it'll be proceeding at 10 o'clock. So if you ring Adam back at 10 o'clock, he'll certainly be able to help you.
Could you tell me the phone number, please?
Yeah, the same phone number you've called, so 55208888.
Right, okay. Well, that's the same number. And I should tell the woman. The woman's giving me you.
That's quite okay. No, well, that program doesn't start till 10 o'clock, so that's fine. Okay, Barry, all the very best. And the time on 4CRB is just coming up to 8 minutes past nine. That's past 10 on the Tweed. We'll try Mary this morning, and let's hope Mary doesn't want a valuation on her car. Hello, Mary. How are you today? Oh, Mary, have you got your radio on there in the background? I might have been put on hold. Well, that's not a bad start this morning, is it? So one person wanting to know what their car's worth and another has got me on hold. That's okay. Mary, unfortunately, we'll just leave that there for the moment. But if there's anyone who has a question or a query, the lines are presently open. 55208888 is the number. Mary's back, so we'll try Mary again and see what happened there. Hello, Mary. How are you today?
Yes, I got two.
Yes.
Fine.
How can I help you today?
Even better. Next to me, I have my partner for many, many years. His name is John. He's next to me.
Mm-hmm.
He's suffering from a stroke. That's battling, and he needs to make a new will.
Mm.
So this is where you can help us.
Mm-hmm.
His son, he had five children, lives overseas. One son committed suicide last March.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the will. Now that his son is gone, he wants to make a new will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that means he got three daughters and one son alive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, out of the blues, because his life is hanging on a string, he's 90 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the blue, the son that committed suicide last year, she's about 25. He only met her once in all these years.
Mm-hmm.
Had nothing to do with her.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, she already led the rest of the family, knowing how sick he is, close to dying.
Mm.
She's going to dispute the will for everything.
Who's going to dispute the will?
The daughter of the chap who committed suicide.
Right. If your partner still has testamentary capacity, he can certainly, if his current will provided that if any of his children predeceased him, that his assets would go to their children.
But it's not include her. It did not include her.
Can you just let me finish, please? So can you just let me finish? So what I was going to say is that this person who's saying they're going to contest the will is a child of the deceased son, the one who committed suicide. So your partner can make a will which excludes grandchildren, and grandchildren don't come within the class of persons who can claim on the estate of a deceased person. What I would suggest you do is organise for your partner to go and see his solicitor to redo his will, and specifically provide that that his estate will go solely to his children and exclude grandchildren if that's what he wishes to do. And there's no basis upon which that granddaughter, unless she was supported by your partner, so unless your partner has been providing financial support to her and she's under 18, there'd be no basis upon which she could claim. So, no. Mary, take him to his solicitor and get a will redone. All right, then?
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, Mary, all the very best. And the time on 4CRB just marches along. It's just coming up to 12 minutes past 9. That's past 10 on the Tweed. As we say, good morning to Mark. G'day, Mark. How are you going? Mark, are you there?
Yes, morning, John. How are you?
Going really well, mate. How can I help you today?
Just a question here, mate. I had a parking fine a little while ago. I've had it reviewed, but they've knocked that back. There is a couple of extenuating circumstances. I just wonder whether it is worth my while going to court or just nip it in the bud and pay the fine.
Well, you can take it to court. You could appear for yourself, but the only danger you run, Mark, is that if it goes to court, normally the fine is increased and you may get an order for costs. So
The fine at the moment is $414.
Ooh, gee, that's a nasty.
Yeah, it was. I was in a school zone, but trouble is, I was dropping my wife to work at Cool and Gadda, and I got the times mixed up as the hour difference.
Oh, right, okay.
So they pinged me up the end of the street where the blockade was for the COVID.
Right.
So I did write off to them and just explain the situation, but it came back and they knocked it back, unfortunately. So then I was thinking maybe take it to the court in front of a magistrate and see what happens there.
Right, so this was actually a fine issued by the police, not by the council.
It was a council fine, yeah. Ranger got me, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, because
I was only there for 10 seconds, so I thought it was a bit rough at the time.
Yeah, no, that is pretty rough. Well, look, you could take your chances and take it to court, but I think I'd be investigating first what the what the likely penalty might be if you do go to court, and secondly, whether there would be any costs that you would face. Mark, have you got a pen handy there?
Yeah, sure, John.
Okay, well, what I would suggest you do is give the my community legal centre. Whereabouts on the coast do you live?
Just in Tweed.
You live in Tweed, yeah. So it's a little bit of. Do you get up the coast much at all?
Oh, I could get up there. Yeah, that's okay. No problem.
Right, because my community legal centre operates at Robina on a Thursday evening from 6:30 to 8:30.
Okay.
So at the Gold Coast City Council Robina Community Centre, so you can go in there and get some advice. You could take the ticket in and go through the whole thing with them. The other alternative would be the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre and Advice Bureau. Now, they're in Southport, but they do visit centres up and down the coast, including Coolangatta. So they could be worthwhile. I'll just give you their phone number. Have you got a pen handy?
Yeah, thanks, John.
Okay, so it's 5532.
9611. 9611.
So you could ring them and ask them when they'll next be in Coolangatta, and you could go over there and see one of the solicitors there and just make an appointment to go and see them and go through it and see what their recommendation you is about what the what your chances are and what the likely penalty might be if it goes to court, and what costs, if any, you're going to face, so that you can weigh up the costs. I mean, I can imagine a magistrate wanting to be sympathetic to your situation, because it is quite, quite unusual with COVID going on and then daylight saving.
Yes, I wrote in to get them the reviewer, but standard letter back saying,
That's right. So that's the only thing that I could recommend you do. The only other thing you could possibly do would be to speak to the counsellor or get in touch with the counsellor. But the only problem you've got is that because you don't live in Queensland, the Gold Coast City Council councillors may not be too interested in helping you.
Right,
unfortunately,
exactly.
you don't bring a vote to them, so that might be an issue. But look, try that,
true.
Mark.
I've got the number there anyway, John, and
see how you go.
I'll give them a ring and just see what happens there.
Okay, all the very best.
Thanks a lot for your help.
No
nice
trouble.
Thank you
too. Cheers now. Time on 4CRB, just coming up to 16 minutes past 9, past 10 on the Tweed. The Law on You is the program. That phone number is 55208888 if you have a question or a query. 55208888. Please don't leave it to the last 5 or 10 minutes of the program where on many occasions we get a bank up of calls. Call now, 55208888. As we say, a very good morning to Ross. G'day, Ross. How are you today? Ross, hello.
Yeah, hi, John. How are you?
Going really well. How are you?
Not too bad. John, I received an arrears rate notice yesterday, which includes, you know, some interest because of the late payment. But I do not recall receiving the original notice. And those notices are only sent out by normal mail. So there are instances, like for instance, in the last 4 years, I've had two letters come to my letterbox, which were meant for other houses in similar named streets.
Right.
So what are my chances of getting that? Because I haven't, I honestly believe I didn't receive the original notice in the mail. What are the chances of me, it's the Loganshire Council, of having that interest component deleted because I never received the original notice to pay them out?
Right. Well, look, Ross, it's one of those situations, isn't it? Nothing ventured, nothing gained. So, I mean, I would recommend that you ring the council and explain the situation to them and just see what they're prepared to do. At the present time with COVID and everything else, you just I know that the councils have been taking a more lenient approach on payment of rates and those sorts of things. So if you're in a position where you can pay the full notice immediately, but excluding the interest component, you very well may find that they'll exercise their discretion and waive the payment of that.
But what is the legal situation now? Like, just because you send a bill by normal mail, there's no guarantee that the person receives it.
Yes, I think, though, that basically it's deemed to be received, because I think that the instance of mail going astray is so small. I mean, post, for example, is a legitimate form of serving process in relation to court proceedings. If you can't serve papers on someone because they're difficult to locate, or they won't answer their door or whatever, you can get an order from the court that you can serve something by post. So
that'd be by registered post, though, wouldn't it? By registered post, wouldn't it?
Not necessarily.
Really?
So yes, because the other side of it, of course, is that if you send something registered post and someone has to sign for it, quite often they'll refuse to sign for it because they don't want people to know. So give them a call and just see what they say. And look, if you wanted to go any further in relation to it or get any further advice, whereabouts on the coast do you live? Okay. Well, you could call the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre that I just mentioned before for Mark. Have you got a pen there?
Yes, I have,
55329611. So you could give them a call.
55329611. 11.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, Ross. All the very best.
Appreciate your help, John. Much appreciated.
No trouble. And as the time rolls on to just gone 19 minutes past 9, past 10 on the Tweed, we say hello to Frank. G'day, Frank. How are you today?
Good morning, John. I just got a question. I'll just give you the scenario like this, okay? I'm managing a two apartment in one of the apartment buildings somewhere on the Gold Coast. So the one of the owner got a car park willing to lend in, you know, give use to the other apartment tenant, okay? Now, the on-site manager said, I do have to apply the body cop approval, but there is no body cop bylaw for that. Do I need to still comply that the request from the on-site manager? Basically, the community chairman asked me to do so.
So what you're saying is that, sorry, do you manage these apartments or are
you... I'm the property manager.
You're the property manager. And how many apartments are there in the complex?
Around about 100, I guess.
Okay, and is it a high-rise or a low-rise?
It's a high-rise.
High-rise. So what you're saying is that
one lot owner who's got
a car space allocated to them in the basement wants yep. to allow another lot owner to use that car yeah. space.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason why the owner of that lot can't allow the other lot owner to use their car space.
Yeah, the answer I made, yeah, I said, I need to get a buddy cop approval, but I said, show me the bylaw.
I can't understand why you would require body corporate approval, because if that car space is either part of the title to the unit or alternatively is allocated to the exclusive use of the owner of that particular unit, and they choose to allow someone else to park there, as long as the owner of that unit is not then parking somewhere else and either taking up a visitor's car space or whatever. I mean, you could have a situation, for example, where in a building you've got a number of residents who don't have cars because they're too old to drive anymore.
That's right, yeah.
And so they say to one of their neighbours, oh, no, look, your wife can park her car in my space. That's not a problem. Unless there's a bylaw that says that you must provide to the body corporate the registration number of your car so that they can confirm that it's in that car space, but I can't really see any basis upon which the body corporate would be able to say that you need permission from the body corporate to allow someone else to use your car space, because at the end of the day, if the car space is yours, well, you should be able to do with it as you see fit.
That's why sort of the Australian way, you know. You can't just like it's a basic. This building has got a really horrific management. They just asking for anything they like from the chairman. It's just like ridiculous.
Well, possession is 9/10 of the law, Frank. So my view would be to just park there. Or whoever's been allowed to park there, and wait for the body corporate to do something if they are going to push it, and then ask them for the basis upon which they're saying you need body corporate permission. Get them to point to it.
Yeah, that brings my second question. You know, the body cop company, which is the I don't want to name this company.
No.
They said because the chairman of the committee of the chairman requested to do this. But is that allowed? Because
well, the chairman can't just make rules of his own volition. I mean, the rules of the body corporate would either be... I mean, unless there's... is there a management company that looks after this? So one of the professional management companies that looks after...
Those kind of the media rights company, which is...
Yeah. So one of the normal body corporate management companies. So
yeah,
unless they can point you to a resolution in the body corporate's... previous meetings, a meeting of the committee or a meeting of the body corporate itself, or alternatively a bylaw that requires you to get body corporate permission to allow someone else to park in your car space, I can't see the basis upon which they can do it. All right then.
Thank you for the help. I'll ask you another question next time.
Okay, Frank.
Thank you so much.
All the very best. Time on 4CRB is just coming up to 24 minutes past 9, past 10 on the Tweed. And there were a couple of things that I wanted to mention. In fact, I've been trying to mention for a few weeks and just haven't got to them. One of them is becoming far more important at this stage, given the passage of time. But just to let you know, and very, very important for our listeners who may have moved to Australia from foreign countries, that from the 1st of January this year, so that's January 2021, if you leave something, if you leave an interest in securities, assets such as land, a trust, under a will to a non-resident, well, it is no longer exempt from the need to get FIRB, and that's Foreign Investment Review Board approval. So in other words, bequests to foreign residents are now subject to the Australian Foreign Investment Review Board Foreign Investment Control Regime. So anything inherited by a beneficiary where the beneficiary is classified under the FIRB guidelines as a foreign person, and this can sometimes include Australian citizens who are living abroad, it has to be referred to the government for screening. Now, I should imagine that in the overwhelming majority of cases, FIRB are simply going to provide consent to that. However, it does raise the real possibility that a gift under a will may fail if FIRB refuses to give their consent to allow that interest in property, for example, to go to a foreign beneficiary, and therefore the executor or administrator may be in a position where they're unable to distribute that interest. So just be aware of that, particularly if you're here from a foreign country and or you're now living in Australia and you've made a will which leaves assets to your family overseas. There will be ways around it. There are ways around it, but nonetheless, just be aware. And we've got another caller online. John, good morning, John. How are you today? Hello, John. Are you there?
Yes.
Yes, how can I help you, John?
A couple was married for 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
They had joint wills.
Mm-hmm.
The wife never worked.
Mm-hmm.
Had no assets. Never contributed to the home or maintenance or home expenses.
Mm-hmm.
She changed her will to common and soon after died.
Mm-hmm.
Her son, the spouse's stepson, got everything in the will,
mm-hmm.
half the house. What should the living spouse could claim?
So what you're saying is that the spouse has left the whole of her estate to her stepson.
To her son,
who's the stepson of the spouse. Yeah. So when did the person pass away?
A couple of weeks ago.
Okay, well, I think that if this is you or a friend of yours, John, you need to go and get legal advice immediately, because I think what you need to be looking at is whether you should be contesting that will to say that there's not been adequate provision out of the estate. Out of the estate made for you. So don't mess around. You need to get legal advice in relation to that immediately.
I heard that there was a spouse could claim the first $150,000.
That's only on intestacy.
Mm,
yeah, so if there's a will involved, you need to get advice on whether whether the will can be challenged.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then.
Thank you, John.
Okay, all the very best. And that segues nicely into something that I was going to talk about. You may remember that last week I was talking about who can actually contest a will. And, of course, the spouse is the one, certainly one of the parties that comes within the class of persons who can do so. But the other side of that, of course, is defending an estate against a family provision claim. And my colleague Janine O'Brien in the estate litigation team at Bell Legal has produced an article which is going up on the website shortly on this very subject and basically what needs to be done. Now, the common thing is that the executor under the will must uphold the terms of the will. However, this becomes a problem where you've got a very small estate or you've got smallish estates, and it may become very clear very quickly that the costs of defending the action or defending the will are going to quickly mount to the point where it may severely limit the amount that will ultimately be available in the estate for distribution. Now, there are time limits that apply, and in Queensland, you must notify an intention to make a claim under a will within 6 months of date of death, and you must commence proceedings within 9 months of date of death. Those time limits are different in different jurisdictions around Australia. The other thing, of course, is who pays the costs of a family provision claim. Now, normally, if you're successful in your action, then the estate will pay the costs, and in most cases, the executor's costs will also be paid out of the estate. But increasingly, the courts are looking at this issue of costs and becoming very critical of it, and it certainly is no longer unusual that an unsuccessful claimant can be ordered to pay not only their costs or not only the costs of the estate, but of course they'll also be up for their costs. So it's certainly an area that you need to get advice on very quickly. If you're an executor in a will and it looks like someone's going to contest the will. So thank you very much to Janine O'Brien and of course also to Margaret Miller, who heads up the estate litigation team at Bells, for that article. Most interesting, and segued nicely into our call from John. That's all the time we've got for today. I'm John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group. It's been great to be with you this morning. I'll look forward to being back next week. But as always, until then, it's goodbye and God bless.